Open your Bible this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. I'll be reading several verses from this particular chapter. And I'll give you some options. You can either entitle it The Good Shepherd, or you can entitle it The Shepherd and the Sheep. And it's an interesting chapter. We'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 30. You always would like to be able to read prior to and sometimes after the fact, but for the sake of time this morning, we'll not do that. But we'll take a moment and pray, and then we'll read these 30 verses that we want to read out of John chapter 10. Our Father, again, it's my privilege to stand in this place and read the Word of God. Preach the message. And I pray that Jesus Christ be exalted and His name lifted up. We'll thank You and praise You for what You do for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. You believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I have said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And thus we have the reading of the particular passage that we want to deal with this morning by way of introduction in chapter 9. The discussion has to do with understanding. And you'll notice in the text that we've read in chapter 10 that the Lord made a distinction between two groups, one that believed and one that did not. But he said of these folks, the majority at least, you have understood. And they're guilty before God because they understand. Now that does not mean that a person who has never heard the gospel is excused. I believe that there is a witness that goes out into this world that is understood in every language. And so men are accountable and responsible, but we're dealing with folks who have heard the Word of God, and the Lord points out that they are guilty because they have understood exactly what He said. Now this brings before us, I think, a real sad case. It's one thing to act in ignorance. It's another thing to act in full knowledge without responding to the truth. And so the folks then that our Lord is dealing with at this particular time, they claim to have understanding, and He points out that they are guilty. The first thing He deals with in chapter 10 is that there's one that is going to be coming to the sheepfold. And that sheepfold is the sheepfold of Israel. John earlier in the book said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. They didn't understand in that sense who He was, but they understood what He was saying to them, that there is a sheepfold. In fact, the Lord speaks of another fold, and I'll deal with that when I get to it. But as we think about the sheepfold of the household of Israel, there is a door of the sheepfold. And for the one to come and the porter to open to him, he has to come with proper credentials. Be very evident that he has to be the seed of the woman. Early in the book of Genesis, we're taught that there was going to be one that would come who would be the seed of the woman. Then there was a promise that was made to Abraham, and the one who is coming would have to be then a descendant of Abraham. And he certainly would have to come and would come through the son that God claimed would be the fulfillment of all promises. One is a son of the flesh, Ishmael. And then Isaac is the son of promise that God promised to Abraham and Sarah, and in particular, the writer of Hebrews deals with Sarah as the mother of this one that is by promise. And I want to point out to you, as well as the Lord pointing out to you, that this woman was past the age of childbearing, so it has to be a son of promise. Now, certainly we could not diminish the fact that the birth of Jesus Christ is a miraculous birth. But there have been a lot of miraculous births in the Bible. And one of them, of course, was in promise to Isaac's mother, that whenever she was past the age of childbearing, that God was going to give her a son, and that this would not be fulfilled through Ishmael. The one who comes must go through the door of the sheepfold. In other words, he's going to have to meet the criteria of the one that comes. And the porter only opens to this one. Now, there's a couple of things that I'll just mention in passing. One is that there is one with distinction, and certainly this means then that there's a group by exclusion because they do not believe in the one. He goes before his sheep. Now, there's some things said here that I wish we had time just to kind of camp on for a moment. He put forth his own sheep, the Bible said, and he goes before them. He doesn't follow after them. Our Lord honestly shepherded his sheep. There's a difference in herding sheep and shepherding sheep. Whenever the West was young, and you've heard the stories of the battles between the cattlemen and the sheep herders, and that's pretty well true. I mean, it's the sheep have a way of cropping the grass too close, and it takes it a long time to grow out so you can run cattle on it. So the shepherd goes before the sheep. He does not follow after them and drive them. Then the Bible said the sheep know his voice. certainly this is significant in and of itself, that the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. And so a Christian should recognize the voice of the one who saved him. It ought to be a part of our lives so that we're attuned to the testimony of the shepherd and the call of the shepherd as he goes before his sheep. They know his voice. The Bible said they'll not follow a stranger. I want you to know that from a believer's vantage point, I am very grateful that there is a distinction here and that we can know the mind of God, the will of God. They'll not follow a stranger. They'll flee from him because they don't know his voice. So we see then that there was one to come to the sheepfold of Israel. You ask, did the Lord find any sheep there? Yeah, he found a few. One day he's going to find a whole nation, but that's a different story. But while he was here on earth, robed in the flesh of a man, and walking among men, there were folks that heard his voice and responded to it. Now, Andrew, we're not told about his salvation. We're just simply given the fact that he's been saved. And John the Baptist gives testimony to him. And the Bible said the first thing he did, he went and told Simon Peter, his brother. Well, that man responded. There are others. James and John. Can I take an aside for a moment and point out to you that the grace of God makes a difference in a person's life? Before they were saved, they were called sons of thunder. And I don't have any doubt in my mind, but what James and John were rather on the tough side. I think that if you got Peter and James and John together, that they might have lacked a good scrap. There was a sweet Christian brother that I worked with for a time. My lot in life to get to work on the GM assembly line up in Arlington, Texas. Stayed at it for several years. But there was this one fella that I stopped by and got acquainted with. He began to talk about how the Lord saved him. Now, you got to understand, a fellow that likes to fight, he's probably going to have a few teeth missing. And he talked just exactly like a fellow that had his teeth missing, because he did. He said, you know, for a saved, he said, I like to fight. But he said, I don't want to fight anymore. I've never forgotten the voice of that man and the testimony that he gave and that he would bear. I say all that to say this. I think probably these sons of thunder along with Simon Peter, if there was a gentle one in the crowd, it had to be Andrew. The rest of them were tough, but they heard the voice of Jesus Christ. James and John did. The Bible said that when they heard his voice, when he called them, they left their father in the ship with the hired help and went to follow Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, he found some folks over among the Israelites that would believe. They were not in the majority. But he did come to his own. And out of that sheepfold, we do have some that are saved by the grace of God. The second thing that I want us to see in our text is that the Lord said, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. Now, the subject broadens. Before, it's the sheepfold of Israel. Now, he speaks of, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Tell you the honest truth. It's a sweet thing to be saved today. Just to have something worthwhile to go through the door. Out unto. Now, a door has a purpose. And your door is... Or entrance and exit. So, this becomes significant when we understand the good shepherd and a shepherd and his sheep. Whenever evening comes, there's usually a particular enclosure where several herds of sheep are brought. But whenever all of the sheep are in, all the shepherds are in, there's one that is the old shepherd that will lay down across the door. And nobody goes in or out except they go over him. He keeps the sheep in, he keeps the wolf out. He is the door. Shepherd was asked one time, well, where's the door? He said, I'm the door. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. You're going to have to go in and out by him. Jesus is the good shepherd. What makes him different? That he would take the designation of the good shepherd. He said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling will flee away when he sees a wolf coming. And the Lord explained why the hireling will run away. Because the sheep don't belong to him. They don't really mean anything to him. Except whatever advantage they might find through some association with him. But to us who are saved by the grace of God and know Jesus Christ, we understand that the good shepherd is given his life for the sheep. The sheep are not the hirelings. They are the good shepherd's sheep. So we see then that the Lord has broadened the subject to the point of any man. It's without national distinctions now. Prior to this, there was a national distinction, and you often will read the term and it'll be presented that there is the household of Israel. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Now he broadens out the subject and points out that there is one who is the door to the sheep. Then he said something that is of interest. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There was a time whenever the gospel was to the Jew first. Now I don't think we ought to have that discrimination about us. We ought to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to carry it unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord, in the final commission that He gave His disciples, His apostles, was go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not only did He tell us where we ought to go, but He ought to, what we ought to do. He said, repentance and remission of sin is to be preached in my name among all nations. So the Lord said that He had sheep that were not of this fold. Now I want to dispel an error here. Haven't heard it in a long time, but you know how these sometimes these radio preachers are. They're trying to prove a point, and they go out of the way to be wrong. This fellow said, there has to be then life on other planets. And this was his proof text. No such thing. It's not a proof text for anything except the Lord intends that the invitation broaden out to Jew and Gentile. This middle wall of partition has been broken down. Jesus Christ will save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we see then that this subject has broadened. Jesus is the good shepherd. He gives His life for the sheep, and the hirelings flee away when the wolf comes, but not the good shepherd. And then the other sheep, they're not of this fold. Probably one of the saddest commentaries on the Church of Jesus Christ today is that we haven't carried it far enough, fast enough, like we ought to. We have a solemn responsibility and a commitment to our God because of the work of the cross to carry the gospel to a lost and a dying world. But Jesus said He's going to bring them. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd. Third thing I want to deal with this morning, and I realize our time is gone, and I promise you I'll hurry. That doesn't mean much. The good shepherd dies for the sheep. He said, as He speaks of His life, no man takes it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And I challenge you to look through the Bible, and you'll not find but one thing that motivates Jesus Christ, and that's the love of God for the souls of men. That's why He came. He came to lay down His life. Now that means that He's literally going to lay it out so that life becomes more meaningful than it ever has before. happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. No man takes his life. He gives his life freely for the sake of the souls of men. And the final thought, the sheep come to Him. There's one fold and one shepherd. And He said to those who would question Him, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What He's telling these folks again is, I am exactly what I told you before. I am the one that has come to lay down my life for the sheep. Folks, it's worth knowing. It's worth telling. And it's worth experiencing. Thank God for His marvelous grace. I realize that I no doubt have left a lot of things unanswered, maybe in your mind, but do understand this, that Jesus Christ is of the same essence as the Father, which means that He's God. God in the flesh. And able to save those who believe. Such a profound subject. Yet the answer to a question posed about the work of Jesus Christ could be answered so simply. The Philippian jailer said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved, and your Father's house can be saved. Or it does not mean that because you're saved, your children are going to be saved, but it means that they have the opportunity to believe. You've had the opportunity to believe. As I give this invitation today, the invitation is to you. And I trust you'll respond and say yes to Jesus Christ, and you'll, if you please, just go in by the door. You might be surprised what you'll find on the other side. Inside and outside. I wonder how those sheep look at it whenever they come out where the shepherd lay the night before, and they see the opportunities that have given them for that day. We can't even imagine it because we're not sheep in that sense of a physical sheep. But I am a child of God. Therefore, I am a sheep of God. And I see beauty in what's before me, because there was a love expressed beyond comparison in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Doug, if you and the musicians will come, prepare the invitation number. I'll pray with the rest. Father, I'm grateful for this privilege just mine to preach today. And I'm thankful we can give an invitation. And I pray that you'll meet the need in every heart and life. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we call. and ask your blessing upon this invitation, for I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.